Blog Talk Radio.
Imagine starting your day not just with a cup of coffee or a quick glance at your phone, but with a powerful assurance that today can be extraordinary. Picture yourselves stepping into each moment, fueled not just by your plans and efforts, but by a divine promise of guidance and blessing. If you believe that God can make a difference in your life today, let us stand together in faith. I will pray a powerful prayer with you in the mighty name of Jesus. So watch until the end and open your hearts to receive the blessings of this prayer. My friends, in the quiet moments of our mornings lies a precious opportunity to shape the hours ahead with hope, grace, and intention. It is in these serene early moments that we find our hearts most open to the whispers of God and where our souls are most receptive to His guiding hand. Let us reflect on the words from Psalm 118, verse 24, which says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." This verse isn't just a statement. It's an invitation to align our hearts with a spirit of gratitude and joy. It reminds us that each day is a divine gift, intricately woven with possibilities and opportunities for us to discover and embrace. As we pray for a good day, we are not merely asking for favorable circumstances. We are also seeking to tune in our hearts to the beauty and blessings that each day holds. When we approach our day with prayer, we are not just hoping for the best. We are placing our trust in the one who holds all our days in His hands. We acknowledge that our own strength is limited, but in God, we find an unlimited source of strength, wisdom, and peace. Therefore, our prayer becomes a powerful testament to our faith, a declaration that we choose to rely on God's promises and His unfailing love to guide us through the day. As we face the unknowns of the day with courage, we ask not just for the absence of trouble, but for the presence of God's peace that surpasses all understanding. This peace becomes our steady companion, guiding our thoughts, words, and actions, turning ordinary moments into extraordinary encounters with God's grace. As we seek God for a good day, we seek to align our will with God's will. It is in this sacred exchange that we find the essence of a truly good day, one that is not measured merely by worldly successes, but also by how closely we walk with the Lord. It's about seeing His hand in every detail, feeling His presence in every challenge, and hearing His voice in the quiet whispers of our hearts. So, my friends, let us come together in prayer, not only wishing for a better day, but as a powerful act of faith and surrender. Let us pray with hearts full of hope, trusting that God is with us, guiding our steps and turning every day into a testament of His love and faithfulness. Today, as we seek a good day, let's remember that it begins here, in this moment of prayer, where heaven touches earth and your heart finds true joy in the Lord's embrace. Now, to all those within the sound of my voice, let us go to the Lord in prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with me so that you can have all the blessings of this prayer. You may also listen to this prayer daily as you build your faith and come in agreement. Let us pray to our gracious and loving God. Heavenly Father, Creator of the heavens and earth, I come before You with a heart full of praise and thanksgiving. Your majesty and glory are beyond comprehension, and Your love for us is unending. I exalt Your holy name and acknowledge your sovereignty over all things. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and in your presence I find true peace and fulfillment. Lord, I thank you for this new day, a precious gift from your generous hands. I am grateful for the breath in my lungs, the strength in my body, and the opportunities that lie ahead. Your mercies are new every morning, and your faithfulness is as boundless as the sky. For the love and grace that you have given to me and my loved ones, I am eternally thankful. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth and in my life, as it is in heaven. As I stand in your presence, I ask for forgiveness of my sins, both known and unknown. Cleanse my heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. I also forgive those who have wronged me, releasing any bitterness or resentment, for in forgiveness I find freedom. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare victory over my day. I seek your guidance and wisdom in every decision I make. Lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Enlighten my mind with your divine insight and help me discern your will in all things. In every conversation, every interaction, in every choice, let your wisdom be my guide. Lord, I ask for your strength and courage. In moments of weakness, be my fortress. When I face trials and tribulations, be my rock. Let your courage fill my heart, enabling me to overcome obstacles and stand firm against the winds of adversity. I'm grateful that in your strength, I can achieve all things. For with you, all things are possible. I pray for your peace to surround me today. Let it guard my heart and mind. In the midst of chaos, let your peace reign. Let it be a beacon of hope to those around me, a testament to your calming presence in my life. Protect me, Lord, from all harm. Be my shield and defender against the schemes of the enemy. Keep me and my loved ones safe under the shadow of your wings. Deliver us from all evil and lead us away from temptation. Protect us in our going out and our coming in, today and forevermore. I pray for health and well-being, not just for myself, but also for my loved ones. Heal us from every sickness and disease. Mend what is broken within us and revive what has grown weary. I thank you, Lord, that you are the great physician, the healer of all our ailments, and in your hands there is restoration and peace. Your word says that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed, and I claim that promise over our lives today. I pray for deliverance from the spirits of fear, anxiety, depression, addiction, and discouragement, and ask for your powerful intervention to break these chains and set me free in the name of Jesus. Lord, prosper the work of my hands. Open doors of opportunity and bless my goals and aspirations. May your abundance flow in my life and let me be a blessing to others. In your loving kindness, I ask that you meet my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, fill me with your love and compassion. Let me be a vessel of your grace, showing kindness and understanding to everyone I encounter. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke all forms of attacks by the enemy. I declare that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I bind the spirit of delay, disappointment, and stagnation in the name of Jesus. I rebuke bonds of oppression and any plans of the enemy to derail your purpose for my life. Lord, as I say this prayer together with everyone listening, I am grateful for every heart that is humbled before you right now, as we come in agreement, praying for each other. Let your Holy Spirit move among us, touching every life, healing every wound, and fulfilling every need. In your infinite grace, we ask that you align your blessings to meet us right where we are. May your favor be upon us. May your protection surround us, and may your peace dwell within us. We declare that everything is working for us and not against us. Deliver us from all accidents and negative incidents. We are grateful that your goodness and mercies shall follow us all the days of our lives. Gracious Lord, we pray that you will help us to have a good day today. We claim victory over our challenges, declare healing over our bodies, and we thank you for your unwavering protection. As this day ends, we return with hearts full of thankfulness for every lesson learned, for every blessing received. We give you glory. Lord, may your Holy Spirit guide us, comfort us, and empower us in all our ways. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering my prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, amen. If you were blessed by this prayer, type the word amen in the comments section below. I declare that all the blessings of this prayer are now upon you in the name of Jesus. You can help us to reach more persons and spread the gospel. You can do this by sharing the video with a friend or family member and by clicking the like button. Also remember to subscribe to our channel, Daily Jesus Prayers, for more videos that will bless your heart and uplift your spirit. We appreciate all your support. You're blessed to be a blessing. Please feel free to leave your prayer request in the comments section so that we can present them before God for your blessings and victory, and so that other believers on the YouTube platform and all over the world can join us and start praying for you right now. Stand in faith with us while we pray. To God be all the glory. May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a prayer. What a wonderful, wonderful prayer. Yeah. Welcome to Jesus in the Morning. I'm your host, Evangelist Barbara Pittman of Freedom Doors Ministries, and I come to you live each weekday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today is May the 7th, 2024. We thank God for 5 months and 7 days into this new year. We're grateful unto him this morning. Because he's yet on our side. And we thank him for waking us up, closing our right mind. We remember him. And we remember that he so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. And whosoever believed in him and on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we're thankful for his love, because his love is what lift us. It drew us. Hallelujah. Because he loves us. And the only way we can come to him, he must draw us. If he don't draw us to him, we can't come. Many are still out in the world and of the world, because God has not drawn them. Hallelujah. So we're thankful that we were a draw unto him. Oh, yeah, Lord. We thank you this morning. So listen, today we want to talk about old things passed away. And we want to talk about the new you, the brand new you. The old you is gone, and you're a new creature now. You think different. You do things different. You don't behave the way you used to. Yeah. Everything has turned around for your good. Hallelujah. Because you love him and he called you. If he saved you, he called you or chose you for something. And many times we don't know what that is. But we have to seek his face with our whole heart and find out, what's my purpose here? Because he didn't just one day say, oh, I'm going to make Barbara. And then later on he decided what he was going to do with this Barbara he made. But he already had a purpose and a plan for Barbara. Barbara just had to learn, receive him, accept him, and learn what the purpose was. Hallelujah. You may hear me say many times, I don't know about other things or other offices. And you may hear people call me many different things. Dr. Pittman, Pastor Pittman, all kind of names. But guess what? The one office that I know beyond a shadow of doubt that he assigned me to and he called me and chose me for was the office of evangelist, an office of work. It's not so much prestige and for people to look up to me, but it's an office of work. Yeah. And I'm to spread the good news of Jesus everywhere I go. That's my office. That's my calling. That's what he chose me to do. Tell who he was, who he is, what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. That's my job. Hallelujah. As an evangelist. Not that I get put up on a pedestal and people bow down to me. But I lead people to bow down to him. Oh, I feel all right about it right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, his majesty. Yeah, we thank him today. So look, to the followers of Jesus Christ, many times we were told things or taught things that were not true. I always thought 7 means complete for me. 8 was completion for me. Numbers like 3, 7, 2, 8 has been important for me. Today we want to hear what you will, are numbers of importance. What are your numbers of importance? Think about it. What's your favorite numbers? Because some people have favorite numbers. Yeah, we have the opportunity to make passwords and do other things, make names for ourselves. Login names, all kind of stuff. And many times we use our favorite numbers. So God is faithful. The number 12, many different numbers are important to us. Yeah, I thought completion would be 7 for me, the number 7. But number 8 completes things for me. And so I'm thankful unto him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're moving right along this morning. I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. We're going to go to that book and a few other books this morning. But this is what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17 says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So this morning when we take a look at us, we want to see if we're in Christ. Because it's the only way you can become a new creature. I know there are many gods. There are many religions. But I heard a man say, God was the only one who come down to man. Many men are looking up to find God, but God come down to us. In the beginning, he was the Word, and God made the Word flesh. Flesh come and dwelled among us. Yeah, he had to eat. He had to drink. He had to walk. He could talk. All of these things. But he come down to us, seeking that which is lost. And many were saved. When he come from the wilderness, he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil had tried to tempt him. And afterwards, he went out, and he went along the seacoast, and there were men out there fishing. And he called them to come and follow him. And he explained if they followed him, he would make them fishers of men. So today, if you are in Christ and you're this new creature, old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new for you. Then you are a fisher of men. You want to tell everybody about the good news of Jesus. Yeah. It hurts nothing to tell people what he's done in your life, what he's doing in your life, and what you're expecting him to do. Because what it does many times, it gives people hope. Well, every time. It gives people hope. Sometimes people walk away like what you said wasn't important. It didn't affect them. Oh, well. But guess what? He said his word would not return void. So once we witness, we're not concerned after that because we led them to Jesus. We told them what he said concerning them. And afterwards, we go away just praising him, thanking him, yeah, for his word. Again, his word won't return void unto him. Many times, work I've done, I don't get the results right away. I don't get the results at all. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I gave them his word. And again, his word won't return empty. So it did something for them. I may have been the one that come along and planted the seed. It's someone else coming along and watered it. Hallelujah. Somebody else coming along and make sure it's set out in the sun to get enough sunlight. Somebody else makes sure that the fertilizer is stayed around and it will begin to grow. The person will begin to grow. They will come to God. They will come to him and begin to grow. But we must be in Christ, and we must know that we're new creatures and old things has passed away, and behold, again, all things are become new. There's a song as a girl I sang in the church choir, the youth choir, and the song says, stop, look, and listen. There's a great change in my life. Stop, look, and listen. There's a great change in my life. Things I used to do, Lord, I don't do no more. Stop, look, and listen. There's a great change in my life because I become a new creature. I become a new Barbara. In 1993, I want to say it was in the month of September. And I kind of want to say it was on the 29th day. I'm not quite sure. I didn't write it down. But I know it was in the month of 1993. I mean, the year of 1993. I became a new creature. Old things passed away. And behold, all things become new. All of the things I was doing before I became a new creature in Christ, before I became in Christ, before I received him, before I asked him to come into my heart and live forever, I decided to seek him. And I decided to seek him daily. I decided to read and study his word and apply his word to my everyday life. So before that, the things I was doing They were not of God. They was of Barbara. They was of the devil. Other spirits would use me. And I was in bondage to sin. And I wasn't practicing devil worship, but the devil was my daddy at the time. I didn't have a father. I had a daddy, let's call him. And when the spirits would come, I would do whatever they wanted me to do without even knowing. I'm thinking it's me thinking this way. No, it wasn't me thinking that way. And I could sell dope. I could lay with men I wasn't married to. I could lie. I could cheat. I could steal. I could do all kind of ugly things. Not even sure if I couldn't go with married men. Not even sure I would say things that hurt people's feeling on purpose and care nothing about it. Because that old thing was there, that old Barbara. But September 29, 1993, I became a new creature in Jesus. Old things passed away. When I come out losing the desire to club. I lost the desire to drink Crown Royal, white rum, Bacardi rum, and smoke weed, and drink wine, and all of these things. And I thought I was doing something, you see. I thought that I get the weed and smoke it and drink wine. I thought it was an elegant thing. You see how the devil will use you if you let him? Because he's your daddy, you're in bondage to sin. I thought that looked good. I thought that was an elegant thing. I thought it meant something decent. When I drank Crown on ice, I thought that with a twisted lime, a twisted lemon, or whatever it was, I thought I was doing something. When I would add 7-Up to bourbon, I thought, yeah, oh, you showing out now. Yeah. I thought to walk down the street in expensive clothes and name brand shoes and name brand purse, and I had the latest hairstyles of the world. I thought I was really doing something. I truly thought there really was an American dream. And I figured I was living my best life. One day I decided just to wear gold and black. Oh, I just thought it was so elegant. And it just represented formal every day. I was just this perfect lady with just such wonderful style. In my sins, dressed up on the outside, messed up on the inside. But in 1993, when I became in Christ, I became a new creature. Old things automatically begin to pass away. And I could see all things becoming new. I did not think the same way. I didn't want to do the same things. Didn't want to hang out with the same people. Because they wasn't talking like I was thinking. They wasn't talking like what I read in the scriptures. They wasn't talking like the prayers that God would pray through me for me and for others. I learned not to be so selfish. It wasn't just about me and my children. That new creature. And the good part is I never wanted to go back to that old creature. I never wanted to go back there. I wanted to strive for perfection. I wanted to keep learning about God. Yesterday we heard a testimony, and we heard the young man say that his cousin, it felt like salt. And he said that when you eat salt, it makes you very thirsty. And that's true. And he thought about, we're the salt of the earth. So the cousin was the salt of the earth, and he had let him taste the salt. He became thirsty, and he wanted more and more and more and more of God, more of God's word. And that's the way I became. I became thirsty. I learned that through the word to even pray. Let me be thirsty for your word, and let me be thirsty for you. Let me be thirsty in prayer, that the more I pray, the more I want to talk to you, the more I want to fellowship with you, the more I want to hang out with you. Because of the new creature. The new creature could wake up and it's 8 o'clock in the morning, or it could be 5 a.m., 6 a.m. Lord, what are they doing in heaven right now? Father God, what's going on in heaven right now? You see, that's that new creature. Because of this, heaven is where we want to keep our mind. And whatever we want, whatever we're doing, we want to do it according to that it can be approved by heaven. Where moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves don't break in and steal. Yeah. We wake up in the morning telling God thank you. The new creature. The old creature just woke up, and if they felt like a drink, they took a drink. If they felt like a toke of weed, they smoked weed. Or they turned over and it was a man that it wasn't married to. Could have been a married man. Adultery. That's that old creature. But the new creature wake up again telling God thank you for a brand new day. Thank you for another day. Thank you for my life, my health, and my strength. Father, I can see, I can hear, I can touch, I can feel. Because you gave me these abilities another day. The new creature say, you made this body and you made it for your pleasure. Help me to please you today, Lord Jesus. All that I do, help me that is pleasing and acceptable unto you. That's that new creature. That old creature wake up calling friends. Girl, what you doing today? What you got planned? Or the man she wasn't married to just left. It wasn't 5 minutes ago, and she on the phone with another one. Hey, what's going on? That's that old creature. That new creature would cuss you out. I mean, that old creature would cuss you out, hurt your feelings. That old creature would go to work late and lie. The excuse for being late was a lie. But the new creature went to work late. The new creature told the truth. Yeah. So many things that old creature did that was just evil and ungodly, and it wasn't right, and it didn't care if it was right or wrong. Not that old creature. That old creature could care less about what you're going through, about your marriage. Everything would be, get away from him, get away from her. I wouldn't do it. That old creature. That new creature said that God put you together. You may be having a Job experience. He said, I'm going to wait until my change comes. I'm not going to try and change it. I'm waiting on God to change it, because once he changes it, it's changed throughout eternity. It'll never go back. I looked at Isaiah 65 and 17. We go into 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but Isaiah chapter 65 and 17 says, "For behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind." Look at that. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, from mortal to immortality. And look, the former things shall not be remembered, nor come into your mind. This is for the new creatures in Christ that's walking according to his word now. This is for the new creatures in Christ that keep their mind on him, that seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. The new creature that delights themselves in him. Isaiah 66 and 22 says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain." Because remember, he going to give us a name no one else can pronounce but him. It's a name he has given us. Hallelujah. Amen goes right there this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving." We must be new in him. We can't be his and remain the old person. We can't be his and still doing what's not pleasing nor acceptable unto him. It's no way. We can say what we want, but as they said, the proof is in the pudding. We don't even walk the same. We don't think the same. We don't want to do the same. No way I want a club. I come to God in my early 30s. And in my early 30s, I didn't want a club. I didn't want to party anymore. I didn't want to drink. I didn't want to smoke weed. I didn't want to sell dope. I didn't want to do anything that I felt was not pleasing unto him. My life became a life of sharing with others. People would put themselves down, and God would give me the words to lift them up. No, no, no. No, no, no. This, that, and the other is what he would give to me to tell them. Yeah. He gave me a life that people would come to me for help, and I was able to do what he had me to do to help them. It wasn't me, but I was the vessel he was using at the time. I could walk the streets and talk of his wondrous works and make known his deeds among the people. Now, you got to know now, when you come to him, everything just going to go haywire. It's just going to go wild. It'll feel as if you have no control, but keep your mind on him. Stay in the word of God. Stay in prayer. Stand on his word. And after standing, stand on his word some more. Wait on the Lord. Be of a good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. People that you love, they'll turn their back on you. When y'all was clubbing and doing this and that of the world together, oh, they was down for you. Nothing they wouldn't do for you. But when you come to Christ, they'll leave you. You ain't got to worry about leaving them. Start talking about God. For many years, I kept the devil away from me with the word. Men would come, and he would send the type men that I liked. He would send tall men, all kinds. And when I would ask them about God and was they in the Word and do you attend church, they say, oh, no, baby, I don't do all that. That was my cue right there that he's not the one. No matter what he says, no matter what he offers you, he is not the one. See, because if a man is not saved, he's not sanctified, he's not filled with the Spirit of God, he's dangerous, very dangerous, and will pull you away from God. Yes, he will. Because he's making you feel, same thing with a woman. They're making you feel the way you want to feel. And the way you feel is you've forgotten God. You've forgotten the Word. You in your feelings now. You walking according to your flesh. You pleasing your flesh. And that flesh wants to be pleased. But if you remember the Word of God, if you remember God and say, oh, no, I can only pray for him. I can't hang out with him. I can't go for a coffee. I can't go for lunch, breakfast, nor dinner. Not with him. And he don't need my phone number. Because what would we talk about if we're not talking about God, his son, Jesus, and his word? What would we talk about? I don't want to get to know you for you. I want to know what's in your heart. How do your mind think? How do you think? What's on your mind? That's what I want to know. And if it's not Jesus, then I have no part with you. Because you're simply going to talk about the things of the world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. The church I attend, it must be a Bible teaching, preaching church. I can't just go because I like the pastor and his wife. I can't just go every Sunday because I like the way the choir sang. I like the way the praise team lead praise and worship. That do me no good. I need to go to fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I need to praise and worship. I need to pay my tithes and offering. I need to hear the word of God and be filled with his word and go out and carry the word that I got. But a lot of people leave the building and they don't even remember what the message was for that Sunday. On Bible study night, I need to make sure I get there early and get me a front seat. I got my notepad, I got my pen, I got my marker, whatever I use, so that I can make notes, so that I can refer back to this on this date. This is when this was brought forth. And then I'm going to go home, and the next day, or that same night if it's early, I'm going to get in that same scripture, that same book he taught on, or she taught on, I'm getting in there. Because I need to spend some time with God and let him give to me what he want to give me out of that. And most times he'll give you to add to what's already been given in Bible study because of who you're going to run into. You're not going to run into the same people everybody else run into because y'all may not work on the same job. Y'all may not attend the same college. Y'all may not go out in the same areas. You may not shop in the same areas, live in the same area. So everywhere you go, the people are different. So God gave you what to add to the Bible study so that when you go out, you can bless the people. But many don't think like this. They think going in that building is simply for them and them alone. But everything we do should be to be a blessing to others because we're new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Yeah. So look, I went over to take a look at 2 Corinthians, and I'm looking at verse 15, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 through 18, I believe. And we may go just a little bit further. But over here, he was explaining, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. Because of this, all that we do is our work. We're getting our work done. And once our work is completed, we going home. And we're not just going home, but we're going home to be with God, the one who made us for his pleasure, the one who saved us, sanctified us, filled us with his spirit, the one who wouldn't allow no weapon formed against you to prosper, the one that allowed us to look to the hills from which cometh our help, for all our help comes from him. He made the heavens and the earth. The same God that said to us, tell yourself, I can do all things. Know this, through Christ who strengthened me. Know it for yourself. I can do all things. I can turn my back on evil. I can turn my back on wrongdoing. I can turn my back on lying, cheating, stealing, fornicating, adultery, hate, envy, strife. I can turn my back on all these things because I can do it through Christ Jesus who loved me. Yeah. I'm the head and not the tail because his word says so. I'm above and not beneath because his word says so. And all that we're doing is so we can clock out for the last time and go home. Not to this old earth, because he's bringing down a new heaven and a new earth for us. And we're going to be changed. Because any and every old thing is not going on in heaven. And any and every old kind of person, evil and all of that, is not in heaven. So we're remembering that we're new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So he's talking about this eternal in heaven. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so being that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. That's what he said to us. We have great things God has set in place for us. His word was one of the greatest things that he could have ever given unto man. This roadmap to heaven. This roadmap back to him. He brought his only begotten son on the scene so that he could redeem us back to him through his blood, through the blood of Jesus. Jesus came and did his job. He came to do the work of the Father, him that sent him. And he wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to know that we know that we know that we know our Redeemer lives and that we're new creatures in Christ because we went to him and repented and told him we believe that he so loved us that he sent his only begotten son. We told him that we believe that Jesus is the son, the savior of the world. And Father, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for my wrongdoings. In the name of your son, Jesus, I'm asking. Give me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit within me. Because I need you to come into my heart and live forever. Show me your way. Show me the way to go so that I will remain yours forever and you will remain mine forever. You see, it's about preparing to go back with him. It's about sharing him so that others will come to him. It's not about me alone. I'm going to church getting all I can get. It's not about every Sunday they have altar call. I'm on the altar and I'm asking for prayer for me and my family. No. I'm on the altar for the homeless. I'm on the altar for the military. All branches. Our administration. I'm on the altar praying for the leadership of this country, America. I'm on the altar praying for peace. I'm on the altar praying for Israel and Jerusalem. He said, I will prosper if I love them. I'm on the altar for the schools. I'm on the altar for the school board members. I'm on the altar for children. I'm on the altar for the sick and those that are shut in. I'm not just there talking about me and my family, what my son doing, what my daughter doing, what my son need, my daughter need, mama need, daddy need, this. No, that's not it. I already told God about them and he heard me the first time. I already told them about God. Now it's up to them what they choose. Whether it's the straight and narrow or whether it's the wide road that lead to destruction, the choice is theirs. But I'm asking God to save them, sanctify them, and fill them with your spirit. And Father, give them a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Because they're going to seek you with their whole heart. They're going to seek your word with their whole heart. Yeah. So I'm over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. And it says this, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Did you hear that? Because I'm not just going to live this life in Christ only for me. I'm going to lift him up so he can draw others. I'm going to pray for other families, other women, other men. Some I don't know, they're strangers. I don't have to know them. I know the God that made them. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now, when we share the good news, when we are great witness unto him, we living unto him. We're giving him what he needs. Because he want and need to set people free, to save them, to sanctify them, to set them aside, to fill them with his spirit. He need workers right here on the earth. You ain't got to worry about when you go back with him. Here on the earth now is our appointed time. It has become wickeder and wiser. People are doing some unheard of things. And we need to pray. Not just for our families, but we need to pray for others. Other people's family. It could have been somebody you bypassed in the mall. Pray for their family. It could have been a police officer who pulled you over. Pray for his family. But many times we say we believers and we are these new creatures in Christ, but when the police stop us, we get angry and we don't like them and we find excuses to speak evil against them. And if we can, we'll do evil against them. But he's got a family. If he don't have children or wife, he yet may have a mother and a father and a sister and a brother, cousin, aunts, uncles. Pray for his family. If it's for her, pray for her family. Yeah. The cashiers at the grocery stores. many like me because I show them respect. And as often as I can and I remember, I take them a little gift. Well, why do you do that, Barbara? Because no one else will. Nobody else thinks about them. Even the preacher, the pastor, they don't think about them like that. They're just servants in the store. And they may think to pray for them, and that's an excellent thing. But sometimes when you tangibly hand somebody something that they can touch and feel, let me tell you something, it makes a difference in their life. During the Christmas holidays in Walmart, I gave a cashier a little gift. Oh, she ramped and raved. Oh, my goodness. She couldn't believe it. She couldn't believe it. Went to Waffle House. Gave every worker in Waffle House a nice gift. One lady come to hug me. She said, you know, I prayed for this. I prayed for this bag you gave me. It was one of those insulated bags. Nice. You see? Many people. I have, where I get gas from, I go up and I take a 7-up pound cake, a lemon pound cake. I take brownies. The one guy in there, he loved that French coconut pie. He said he and his brother sit around and talk about it. Say the brother always ask him, how does she get this like this? What does she put to make it like this? Love and the Spirit of God, the anointing of God. Hallelujah. So look, it's all about our heavenly home. It's all about us spending eternity with Christ, with the Father. But we must prepare to get there. We're working daily. Not because the work saves us, but when we get our work done, we're ready. If we all have our work done, the ones that he's calling forth in the future, they come on and everybody get the work done, we can get up out of here. It'll be sad because we have to leave the non-believer. Those that say they're true atheists and mean it, we have to leave them. Those that refuse to come out of darkness, those that refuse to believe Jesus is the Son of God, because it's the only way to the Father is through the Son. The scripture teaches this. We'll have to leave them, no matter who they are. It can be mama, grandma, if they refuse. There's nothing God can do, because they're refusing him. They don't believe. I didn't understand things fully when I came to Christ. I just came to him and he received me, and I began to seek him more afterwards. But again, this morning, the only way you can come is if he draws you. I'm guilty of saying it back in my past. I just said, well, why don't they come on to God and stay? He got to draw you. Hallelujah. So we back at chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Once you become that new creature, you forget the old, let it go, and you begin to do the new things. And it's exciting because it's new. You never tried this before. And when you tried it, make you feel real good. And you see good results from it. Verse 18 says, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Yeah, we going to go and get it right and help somebody else to get it right. Reconciliation. Verse 19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Yet he don't put our sins against us. But he blessed us to come to him and we work together. The scripture say, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will wash you as white as snow. But you got to come. Come believing that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, ye be reconciled in God. Sometimes people stray. Sometimes they heard the word and they strayed away. I'm sorry, y'all. It's 21 is where I'm going to stop. They heard it. Sometimes they've gone to the altar and they became what they call converted. But they didn't get filled with the Spirit. See, the Spirit of God in us makes all the difference in our lives. It's a keeper. It's a teacher. It's a reminder. It explains things to the lowest term. It answers our questions. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. This is what his job. This is what he does. 21 says, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. In him. Got to be in him before you can be new. And we got to take self-inventory as often as possible. We never stop taking self-inventory. Never, ever, ever, never. Always taking inventory of us. Because we quit to point the finger at somebody else. I know I'm guilty. Oh, and I know I used to do it too much all the time. I could see everybody else wrong doing but my own. But we're always taking self-inventory. Listen to this. I was talking to the Lord about some things. He told me to let it go and stop being self-righteous. Huh? Self-righteous me. Yep, cut it out. And you can't stop yourself from doing nothing. Because without him, I can do nothing. Stop being self-righteous. Get in the word more. It'll fix it. You're not in the word enough. Me? Yep. You. I know, the as we call them, the Oldheimers that's been here a while. I know you have heard me say he'll straighten me out right now. He'll jack me up right now and fix it. Yeah. Oh, you think you got it today, Barbara? Let me show you what you don't have. Don't walk around like you with your chest stuck out like you got it. You have not arrived yet. And by the way, go right to this scripture. And it just may be, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. It just may be that scripture for me to meditate on, because somewhere along the line, I done got beside myself. This is why self-inventory is very important. So we don't stray off the path. Yeah. See, God done pat me on the back and gave me a few things, and I'm falling away somewhat because I'm looking at what he's done. But I got to keep my eye on what I'm supposed to do. Apply his word to my everyday life. Walk upright before him. Yeah, no gossip. No hate. No lying. No judging. No quick to anger. No complaining. Forgive quickly. Because whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honest, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, what brings a good report, these are the things. And I'm to focus on the fruits of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. So we have to be really careful, really careful. It's so easy to stray on the, oh, it's so easy. So we have to watch as well as pray. We have to stay in his word, remembering what his word says. Because today I'm yet striving for perfection in him. I thank God for Apostle Paul. I thank God he knocked him off that horse on his way to Damascus. I thank God for his calling, for Apostle Paul's calling. Hallelujah. Oh, he has blessed me many a day. Yeah, his writings have blessed me. I'm telling you, it was as if he explained it to me. Hey, Barbara, listen. The word of God is right. The word have power, Barbara, power to save. Because you heard the word somewhere, it saved you one day. Yeah, it's as if he explained it to me, and it just grabs me when he said, I'm going to show you a mystery. We all shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. The believer, the followers of Christ, the sons and daughters of God, the saints of God, the people of God, those that are applying this word to their everyday life, those that are taking self-inventory, those that love his way and want more of him and more of his word, those that are preparing to return with him when he comes. How do we prepare? Through prayer and staying in his word so we can obey it. And it's all right already this morning. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I wanted to bring this morning. God gave it to me yesterday. Simply old things passed away. And that's what I wrote as the topic. This morning when I was sharing it on social media sites, it come to me, the new you. The new you. We're new and improved. I don't even look the same the way I used to look before I come to him. I have a whole nother look. Because the spirit of lust is not here. The spirit of flirtation is not here. The spirit of just lying on purpose is not here. The spirit of just planning on money is no longer here. I don't have to make ways because he is the way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you this morning. Hallelujah. I thank God for his word. I thank God for those disciples and followers that he put in place and gave them what to write for us. When I look at James, I go over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, I can remember the time I couldn't get past the first chapter of 2 Peter. Oh, that first chapter was helping me. Y'all hear me? That first chapter of 2 Peter. Oh, it was doing me some good. Yeah. And see the way they start these letters off. The way they start the writing off. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I, I'm not a servant and an apostle of Peter, but of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. To those who believe like we believe. To those that have had that experience of encountering the word of God. We taught you. He said, have obtained like precious faith. Because faith is very precious. Oh, yes, it is. Look what he says. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He go on to, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. My goodness, I'm dying. Oh, it's a beautiful, oh, thank you. It's a beautiful chapter to read. Because he get on down in there, and as this new creature, we get to see what we should see in us. For it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Yeah. Great and precious promises. Ha! I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Look, if I can do all things through Christ, I can say and speak things that are not as though they were. I can keep saying I'm going to fly a plane one day. I'm going to get my pilot license. I may not fly a commercial plane, but I'll be able to fly my own little helicopter. Speak it. Believe it. He gave us great and precious promises. And look what he told us to do. This Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. It's a beautiful thing. If you read it and believe it and hold on to it, even the Spirit of the Lord will move upon you. Verse 5 says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now look what he went on and told us here. Talking to that new creature that's in Christ. Old things passed away, and behold, all things have become new. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if this be in you, you're going to get in that word. You're going to do some praying. And you're not praying prayers that are missed. You're not praying for stuff and things. But Lord, deliver me from this. Father, let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. Father, give me a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, your righteousness. Help me to remember today I'm the head. And when things come that you don't like or that's evil or that's against you, you'll begin to quote the word. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. No calamity shall come down my dwelling. I remember the first time I said that to Shante, it tickled her so bad. She was just tickled laughing. What? Yeah. But once she came into the knowledge of the truth, now she understands. Yeah. Hallelujah. We want to be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he's going to say, but he that liketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He forgot. He let that old man go, and all things have become new. Because he's liking these things. He's liking virtue. Knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. He's liking these things. One more and we're going to move on. Wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. If you do these things, you won't backslide. If you do these things, you won't leave God. If you do these things, you won't hook up with people that will cause you to follow them and not God. I told you about the evangelist downtown. I'm giving out lunches and drinks and things. And she was on the sidewalk. And she said, I need to talk to you. I went over there and she gave me her testimony. She said she got hooked up with the man. And let me tell y'all something, men and women. That devil know what you like, okay? He know if you like tall men, short men, chocolate men, dark men, light-skinned men. He know the kind of man that you like, Asian man. White man, well, who, whatever kind of man it is, he know what you like, and vice versa. Every race, he know what you like, and so what happened is this: he sent him your way to trick you. And if you don't remember these things when you know anything, you done fell into temptation. And let me tell you. They use the word fine. Ooh, she's so fine. Ooh, he just fine. The enemy was sent at your way to pull you in. And as I said before, he'll start doing things that feel good to the flesh. And when you know anything, you don't forget about virtue. Brother, charity, temperance. Hey, I got patience to wait on this fine man I'm with, a fine woman. Oh, I got charity. I got love for them. When you know anything, you're out of place. When you know anything, they'll come by. Hey, take a little drink with me. Are you thinking this is going to be a one-time thing? And oh, I have a little wine. Next thing you know, you're drinking glasses of wine, and it done moved from wine to weed. It done moved to weed, and now you want to snort. It done moved from the snort, and now you want to smoke crack. You might want to hit meth. But the devil don't just stop. He keeps going. He adds. Yeah. So we have to take self-inventory. We must remember that we're new creatures. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're not doing the things the world do. If you're a supervisor, I know what the companies say, but you're praying that God will give you what you need to do to bless your employees. Yeah. You show love everywhere you go, for God is love. Sometimes you got to straighten people because you love them. Verse 11 says, and we going on, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want that right there. I want to be ministered unto abundantly in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're grateful unto God for his word. But we have to get in it to know it and stay in it to live it. Yeah. We got to live this thing. We can't just talk our way. Yeah, because he hear what we say, but he's looking at what we're doing. I can't talk my way. Not with God. What? Not with God. You're not going to trick him. Because he knows the very intent of your heart. His eyes are in every place. He's beholding the evil and the good today. And we want to prepare and be ready when he comes. That's what all of this is about. That's why he shared the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send more laborers. But how about if we think about the labor he called or chose us for? That's what all of this is about. It's not looking good. It's not about you got the robe on, and I call them dog collars. You got the collar on your shirt. You know, your shirt may be black, but the little thing in there white. You wear a tassel. No, that's not what it's about. They assign you a title according to an office. And what you do, you just walk around looking deep. No. You got to walk around serving God by serving people. That's how you serve God, through serving his people. Again, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. It's not about you going to church. You're not doing God a favor, I promise. You're doing yourself one if you get in there and do things right. And it's not about pastors sitting back letting the people serve them. You got a job to do. That's called work. If I was a pastor, it would be a rare occasion I sit in the pulpit. I'd be out there in the amongst the people. I might sit on pew number 4 this week. And next week, I sit back there with the ushers and listen and see what's going on. What y'all talk about when the service going on? Are you doing more than putting them fans out before people getting the gum out their mouth? Yeah, I work. They having something, I lead the way. That's the way my pastor is. I used to just look at him some days. Okay, Bishop, we going out this Saturday to witness and to give water and sodas out. All right, I'm going to be right there. I'm to my not at the church. You know, through the community on the main street on the corner. I look around, he done disappeared. He done went inside these people buildings. He is now witnessing to them. We said on the sidewalk, Bishop, we were going to pass water out as the car stopped for the light. And it may be 8 cars, so each one of us can go to the car window. Bishop, did you bring any flyers? No, I ain't bring no flyers. I brought the word. Boy, look at him. He too busy talking to people. Not even telling the people he the pastor. This one here, he about that harvest. He about getting that harvest right. You hear me? And that's what you need, a pastor who don't get so big he's above the people. I like small, simple things, small, simple church. I walk in the door, everybody know everybody. We don't all hang out and this kind of thing, but we know each other. I can be gone for 3 years. When I come back, them ushers, they be, oh, Evangelist Mac. Yeah, we know each other. I stayed long enough for you to know me. I've been there almost over 20 years now at the same church. I don't be there often, but when I go, I'm going. Hallelujah. Because the work is in the street. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Spirit. I know my calling. I know my work. And then I listen to other preachers. As long as it's the word, it adds up to the same thing, the word of God, the truth. I love to hear my bishop preach that. Yeah, God uses him. God used this man. He carried up. God used it. But he also used other preachers. I used to listen to Noah Jones all the time because I could understand, I could relate. But I didn't need all the big words. Not that I didn't know what they mean or couldn't look them up. But that's not what I come to do. I didn't come to work. You working by bringing me the word. I got to look it up. No, I'm looking up the passage of scripture to make sure you preaching and teaching the truth to me. I don't need no big word. Mononucleosis. And I don't need to know about that. I mean, come on now. Because everybody in the congregation has not gone to college. Everybody in the congregation is not studying the same thing you studying. They're not using those punch words, is what I call them. So I used to bring him here, and then I said, I'm going to have to stop because the people going not hear. They're going to turn off the spiritual ears and turn on the natural ears. I love him. And I love the way he break that thing down for me. I still listen to it, but I got to be careful what I bring to you. And if God speaks, I got to obey. Yeah. If I can go back and find one where he's not doing all them big words as we call it, I'm going to bring him back. Terry K. Anderson. I like his teaching. Now, some things in there I can't agree with because it haven't ever happened to him, but it has happened to me. Yeah, but it's okay. Because what I can hear from him, I will receive it because it comes from God. It's the word of God. That's just like this. I'm not a member of the Church of God in Christ, but I know what the scripture says. They are one. So I agree with the truth. And it's not a religion. It's the apostles' doctrine according to what Jesus gave. So I'm not following a religion. I'm not a member of the Church of God in Christ. But a lot of their teachings, I believe. What I can cipher, I will. That's which is not of God, I have to put it in the Lasuda. I have to put it in the trash can. Yeah. Because we seeking the things of God. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. We looking for the new things. Hallelujah. That make us the saints of God, the people of God, sons and daughters of God, the people of God. Hallelujah. I like all of that. Thank you, Jesus. So listen, I'm going to this one song of the morning. And when we come back, you know what? The studio is going to be open. And if you feel like sharing how you came to God, please feel free to press that number one and come in and share with us how you came to him. How did you hear about Jesus Christ? Who told you about him? And what made you want to come to him? Yeah. Hallelujah.
If patiently await your answer. What will it be?
I beyond what
this morning, and you want to tell us how you found God, press the number 1 and come in. You can say something like, a friend of mine told me. my family told me. I went to a church. I was walking the street. I was in prison. I was in jail. However you found it, it's all right. Because, see, I know people like to dress things up, you know, and make it sound and look better. I'm just raw. I'm just raggedy, I guess. Yeah, because I just tell it like it is. Yeah, I wasn't in no church. I had been before, was brought up in the church, good godly parents. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah. But after I became of a certain age, and especially when I got on my own, it's my thing. I thought I was going to do what I want to do. End up finding myself in places I never thought I would be. Because, see, I come out the house thinking I was all that and a bag of donuts. Yeah, if you drink, if you smoke, yeah, all of that. Ended up in jail still thinking I was... When I tell you, the devil is a fool, hell a liar, and he'll make a fool and a liar out of you, but you got to let him now. But when you in bondage to sin, these things will take place. It'll make you thinking you looking good when you're looking like a fool. I'm just telling you the truth this morning. I saw this woman and she had these blonde, the bottom of her hair was black and the top was blonde. And she had these super long braids, you know, all the way down to her knees. And the man was fixing them up in the pump and put them together in the back to make half her head down the back a big braid. And when she turned around and I saw them eyebrows, I was like, oh my goodness. But now if you tell her she's not beautiful and looking good, you're going to have maybe a fight on your hand. But I understand because that's the way the enemy does. He does it like that. Make you think you looking good in your mind. Woman 300 pounds with a miniskirt. And when she look in the mirror, she see herself looking good. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. But this is what he does. Them spirits come. And I'm going to tell you, they come to kill, steal, and destroy. Even they, his own people. He don't pay them nothing good. Being rich is not really a good thing, if I'm honest with you. Being over a lot of stuff is not It puts a lot of stress on you. If you own 20 stores and you got to keep up, that's stress on you. But he make it look like, oh, look at the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. Oh, she got her own island over there. Oh, she got three different colors of the Rolls Royces, look at them. But you don't know what she's going through, and you don't know what she or he has been through. Songwriter said, I come to Jesus just as I was. I was weary, wounded, and sad, but I found in him a resting place the day I could say he made me glad. Now, money answers all things. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil now, but it's not money. And money answers all things. And yes, we want money, big, big money, to pay bills, owe no man, and to have to give to others who are in dire straits. Yeah. But we don't want it just for us and our pleasure. Of course, if you're a millionaire, you're going to do some things for yourself. You might buy that coat you always wanted. And you may buy your favorite car and have another car you ride around in every day in your favorite cars for special occasions. And I don't think God will have a problem with that. You get the house of your dreams. Right now, mine is a tiny house. Oh, a tiny house if I could. Guess what? I would just be resting. And most times I wouldn't even be there. you know. But God give hard desires. And according to your motives, God will bless you. He will truly bless you. Delight yourself in him. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Go over there and take a look at Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Go rumble around there in the book of James. James chapter 1. That's going to help you. Read the whole chapter. Read the whole book. Yeah, go over to Romans. 1 and 2 Timothy. Check it all out. Yeah. It's going to help you to stay in place. It'll help you to grow. Go back to the Old Testament. Take a look at Abraham all over in Genesis. Come on up through Exodus and all Deuteronomy. Yeah, take a look over there and see what went on. Hallelujah. Go back there to 1 and 2 Samuel. See how David came on the scene and everything. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. That book is a lamp unto our feet because it's his word. And it's a light unto our path. And forever, O God, that word is settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Sanctify us all today, Father, through that truth. For that word is true. Amen goes right there today. And I thank you, Jesus. Look, I was up, went to bed, and twice I was woke up with the phone ringing. And I stayed up a while. I don't know. I might have fell back to sleep around 12-ish. And around 3:30, I was up. And I had a little bit of talking to do, you know, to encourage some people. And then I laid on back down, and I think I dozed off, but I didn't doze off. When I know anything, it was 5:40. Well, I dozed on off at 5:40. I said, if I get 15 minutes, I'm going to be brand new. Well, what I know is that day, it was 6 o'clock. I'm going to lay 30 more minutes. And then I'm getting up. 6:30, I was able to get up. And felt sleepy, feel sleepy, because I didn't get the full night's rest. And sometimes you got to work. Yeah. Sometimes you really do. Not for you. Y'all, excuse me. But for others, because they are in dire straits. They're in dire need. Yeah. Sometimes it's that people need somebody to talk to. We can judge and say anything we want. But I often think about, if that was me and I was messed up, what would I want somebody to do for me? Yeah. Who could be there for me? I mean, you can really be there for me. But would you? You see, would you get tired of me? What would you say about me? That kind of thing. God is faithful. And I'm learning, too, people don't like the truth. See, people like what they like, and they want to do what they want to do and don't say anything about it. But if you came here and got the truth of the matter and went to God and asked God to show you, you would be all right. But see, over here, I teach against tattoos. I don't see how people who say they the servants of God, they the people of God, can tat up their body when that body was bought with a price. It don't belong to you if you're saved. If you're that new creature in Christ, you're not tatting up yourself. Why would you do that? Why would you mark up your body? Yeah, just walk down the street with a sign. Put it on the sign, but don't put it on you. Because you was bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. And I was taught this, and this is from top-notch professional psychiatrists. They said when people do all of this, it's mental health. Put piercings in themselves and... Because who want to be hurt? I mean, to tap me up, there's got to be a little sore. I don't want no pain of any kind that I don't have to have. Yeah. I was so scared to get my ears pierced. Y'all have, I was grown when I got it done. Well, my mom wasn't going to pierce them anyway. No, no. Well, when I got grown, I figured, again, it's my thing. I'm going to do what I want to do. When it had my ears pierced. I don't like all that. Because I know that's not of God. I never saw Jesus getting piercing, then I'm sure. I know they did. Tattoo shops back then. I know they had them. Yeah. Because women in the Bible, you know, tattoo of these things, what these snakes is, the flat-headed one, cobras. I've seen them with that tattooed on their body. All down their neck, up their leg. See, because nothing is new under the sun. But something, and they did all of this because they worshiped certain gods too. It wasn't Jehovah, it was another god they was worshiping. So people won't come because you're talking against what they want to do. They're not going to come for the truth. They need to hear a message that's going to please them, and whatever they want to do, they go out and do it. Nobody's talking against fornication. Nobody's talking against adultery. Weed smoking. Drink much as you want. Oh, y'all in love, he married. Oh, but y'all in love. All that matters, love. No ma'am and no sir. He said adulterers was going to hell. Now that's his word, it's not mine. You can hold it against me if you want to, but it won't do you no good. It's not my word. It's the word of God. So people not going to teach the things of God. Now back in 1978 and the 60s, you could teach all of this and people would come for it. Because the word, when the word come forth, it's supposed to cut you. You're supposed to be able to say, ouch, ooh. When the truth come forth, it should make you uncomfortable. If you're a new creature in Christ and that word come forth and you're not in that spot, you're supposed to say, ouch, and you're supposed to be uncomfortable. But you're not supposed to get mad. You're supposed to carry it right then and now again. I know you took it 3,500 times, but right then and now again, you take it to God in prayer. Folk don't like the truth. They want a watered-down message. They want to hear about business and prosperity and all this. But, honey, when you stand before God, none of that won't speak for you. Not in a good way. Not that's going to cause you to go back with him where there's no fire burning. And it's getting hotter and hotter and they torturing you. That won't work. We need a word that's going to shake us back into shape. Whip us into shape, Lord. Let your word do the work. Yeah, because of this. If we just get the, let me just tap the back of your hand a little bit. Let me hold your hand. Let me rub your head. Let me pat you. And I just keep babying you. You never changing. You never coming out and do it right. God will only do so much, but he gave us a choice. And we have to choose this day whom we're going to serve every day. Hallelujah. And it's already all right in Jesus' name. Listen, I want to go to this one this morning. This is my personal request. And so I want to go to this one. And take a listen to it because it blesses me every time I hear it. And I hope it will bless you as well.
But as I'm falling, the more I'm falling, the more I'm feeling things getting stripped away from me. Meaning such as like hope, love, all the stuff that we take for granted here that we don't realize that come from God, they're stripped from you as you're falling to this place. I'm trying to get up. Then all of a sudden, I felt something grab my head. And I can see the claw. This thing had to be huge, and it threw me. There is no form of hate here on this planet that can even get close to how they feel about us. They hate you so bad, you can feel it. The energy will kill you. You had a lot of people calling out to God. You had a lot of people asking for 5 more minutes, 1 more chance. Felt like I was there for months.
Wow.
It felt like I was there for months. And I was only there for like 3 minutes and 40-something seconds, 47 seconds.
Where were you shot?
In my stomach. Twice.
Okay.
That's why I'm still experiencing medical conditions right now. I still have fragments of bullets in me.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome. It's Ranzo here from Know Christ. Today we have someone very, very special. He's about to share his testimony, a very, very powerful testimony, one that convicted me, one that is the most compelling health testimony I've heard, one off. Indeed, so I want you guys to just sit back, relax, and hey, Dominic, thanks for coming on.
Whoa, thank you for having me. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank
all
you
right.
For
so
yes, go ahead.
No problem. I saw your testimony on, I believe it's called Touching the Afterlife, right? Your wife reached out to me. I saw the video on YouTube, but I hadn't clicked on it yet. And then I saw an email from your wife, right, just sharing your story. And she said you never wanted to share, but she's like, you got to share. You got to share, right?
Yes.
And then look what's happening. God is using it, right?
Yes, definitely. Because at first, I didn't want to share it. For years, I didn't, you know. And I don't think, you know, I just think the Lord put it on my heart. Everything is on his timing.
Mm.
It's not on our timing. And I want people to realize that. Everything is on the Lord's timing. And it wasn't time for me years ago to share it. Because I wouldn't been mature, spiritually mature enough to handle all the things that are coming and the blessings that are coming from the testimony and the testimony, how it's touching others. So I just know that it was his timing, you know. But I was very reluctant to give my testimony, but I'm glad I did.
I want to go all the way back to your story, right, from the beginning.
Sure. Well, you know, I'm originally from Chicago, Illinois. Grew up, you know, like I said, with a loving grandmother. She was the light of our family. You know, we had, you know, I mean, pretty much she tried to instill God in us, but the neighborhood that we were in, it wasn't fostering of God. It wasn't that way. You know, and my mom went through trauma. My father passed away at a younger age. And, you know, and my mom went down a dark road. She started to use drugs, unfortunately. And with that came for her neglecting me and my brother and sister in a lot of ways. You know, now that I look back on it, I'm kind of, you know, glad that she did neglect us because I wouldn't have found God to this purpose, you know. And just to throw it out there, my mom has been sober for over 22 years now, so thank the Lord for that, you know. But just starting off growing up in Chicago, it was that environment is so hellish. A lot of the choices that you have is pretty much the only gang you're going to choose. That is, I mean, your choices are limited. Job opportunities are limited. So me growing up in the neighborhood that I grew up, our district has over 500,000 people just in our district alone, so it's always crowded. A lot of gang activity, drugs, and me not having a lot of different role models. And I did. I just didn't have the discernment to see the people around me that I should have followed. But I was more following the streets. You know, I was following more of the gang life. I wanted the money. I wanted the, you know what I mean? And also I was tired of struggling. So I wanted the fast way out. So by the time I was 12 years old, I joined a gang. I don't like to glorify it, so I won't name the gang that I joined because I don't want to give them no credit at all. You know, but I did join it's the infamous street gang that's all over the country that I joined. And I started selling drugs, you know, instantly. I was good at that because one thing about me, I love school. School was always my place of peace. It kept my mind off my neighborhood. It kept my mind off everything. So when I went to school, it was just like peaceful to me. And I always loved to educate myself. So that was another thing that I realized God put inside me. But as soon as I got out of school, it's time to put on the war helmet. You know what I mean? It's a different feel to it. But I got pretty fast. I was very smart, so I was very intelligent in learning how to sell drugs. Moved up fast in the rankings because of my intelligence, but I was using my intelligence for the wrong things. You know, I used it for the dark side. Manipulation, you know, especially when it comes to the women, like I say, money, everything. It was just my whole focus and my aim was just totally, totally off. Because in our culture, we're programmed to worship and idolize certain things. What quote makes you a man, you know what I mean? You know, and that's not the case, but I thought I was becoming a man. I thought me, you know, having a status in a gang, I thought me having money, you know, people being scared of me being to shoot guns, I thought that made me a man. And so the more I thought that, the more, of course, I was hungry and enticed to live that type of lifestyle.
There's one thing I wanted to touch on. You said when you were younger, some of your family members were involved in like Santeria, et cetera.
Oh,
and you
yes.
saw something. Definitely. You saw something when you were a young boy. So tell us about that if you want to share it. This ceremony thing, if you want to go into it.
Well, there are ceremonies in Santeria in the culture, you know, Cuban culture, Latin culture, Dominican culture. They're called sweats, okay? And when I was younger, I went to a sweat, and that's where they pinch a tent, and they burn hot stoves, and you pretty much almost naked. And the whole intention is to give all the spirits a chance to come through you and in you. And that's why I knew the spirit realm was real. That's why I knew demons were real. But when I was young, I didn't know those were demons. Well, you're packed. I was packed inside this tent, and they're praying to. Okay, one thing I want people to know. In Santeria, there are nine principalities, okay? And these nine principalities are the principalities that run the whole world. And what happens is each year, at the end of each year, they shift different places. So each principality takes over a new territory on the earth. And when this happens, you give praise and worship to these new principalities that shift positions. And a lot of people, when we have these sweats, it's in honor of the new principality ushering in that new principality that's coming in over a certain territory. Okay, now on this occasion, I was in a sweat, a ceremony, and there were just tons of just rocks. It's an altar, okay? It's a form of an altar, but it's an altar. And, you know, you get to a point of it, and everyone's chanting and chanting. I don't want to say those names because people don't realize when you say these demonic names, they actually can come into your life from your portal. So I'm just going to say one of these principalities were being ushered in to the sweat ceremony, to the ritual. And as I'm looking, there was an altar, and this altar of hot stones, that's what gives off the heat to make everybody sweat. But this stones, the smoke that was coming from it started to become solid. Okay? Now, as I'm looking at it becoming solid, it started to form of the shape of a body. You can start to see the legs, the upper body, the arms. And I'm looking like, wait a minute, kind of focus my eyes. But the more I'm looking at it, this thing is solidifying. It's becoming solid, okay? And now you can start clearly see a form of a young, beautiful lady. I mean, one of the most beautiful ladies I've ever seen in my life. I'm not going to lie to you. But she just started manifesting into a solid form, okay? Even then you can start to see the color. She had a white robe on. She was pretty much like my complexion, maybe a little darker, long, silky hair. But she completely formed out of smoke. And one thing, yes, this is
into like, a real body, into a physical
into a
body?
Physical body. Okay? And one of the high priestesses that came up grabbed her hand and she stepped out of from the smoke down and they said, "Welcome, sister. Thank you for coming and joining us today." But I was so petrified that I squirmed my way through this ceremony and just took off running. I mean, I took off, I couldn't even, because it reminded me of the same fear. Spiritual fear and physical fear are two different elements. Mm. It's way more magnified. That's why some people who get haunted by demonic forces and things, it's a different terror. It's not even fear. It's outside the realm of regular fear that we experience here on earth. It's outside this dimension. That's why it's more powerful.
Okay.
So that was just one incident, and we could talk more about that. But
you were a little boy at this time. Like, how old were you at this time?
I was 9 years old.
Okay. So let's fast forward back to gang life. You're doing all that, right?
Yes.
Your wife also said that you were just searching for religions, like searching for truth. You know,
yes,
looking
I was
into different things.
Yeah, my family can vouch for that. I was. It just always had a compelling to form with God. That's why I was Muslim. I was a Black Hebrew Israelite. You know, like I said, Santeria, New Age movement. I did so much research over the years trying to find him. And the funny part was he was with me the whole time. While I was out there looking for all these things, that's what people don't realize. While you're out there searching and trying to search, whenever you have an inkling to find him, that means he's already found you.
Okay. You know what I mean? He's right. They're just waiting for you.
So he's already there. So
Did you look into Christianity?
I thought it was a hoax. I thought it was I'm just being honest. This is just, I'm keeping 100 as we say. I thought it was a hoax. I thought it was just a fear tactic. I thought it was just used to manipulate and control people. I thought it was a European white man's religion. You know what I mean? Come to find out, actually, it's an ancient African religion. It started, you know, but that's a whole other story. That's, yeah, it was never a European religion, but that's what the enemy puts on our mind, because we're so used to just searching the details on things, we lose the message on things. We want to know the scientific principles of things, the historical facts, the archaeological principles, instead of the spiritual message that's come in that package. So that's another tactic to throw you off from getting to the message. And so you argue and debating with people on the outside of things, you never get his message. So that's, yeah, that's why I want people to be careful with overanalyzing the historical facts of things. We know mankind and man tampered with things. We know this. We know the man tampered with the scriptures. I don't know how many times. That's why there's so many different versions. But when you have discernment, you only can water down God's word so much. But once you have true discernment, you can see instantly his power is still in the scriptures, no matter who try to manipulate it. Man only can do so much to God's word. So, yeah, I just wanted to add that in there. Yeah.
So we're coming up to the moment now where you were shot,
yes.
Right? And then you had the experience, yeah. Right? Lead us up to the moment where you got shot, and then what happened after that?
Sure. It was 2009. By then, I had some money, and, you know, every weekend we go to the clubs. We go to the clubs looking for girls. We're smoking some weed. We're drinking in their life, right? So for us, it's a tradition to go get new clothes. You go to the club, you got to have a new outfit. So me and my friend, we're going to go shopping during the day. We go shopping, but I kept seeing this one guy, okay? First, we went to the clothing store. I come out, he's sitting on his car. And there's something in my spirit says, something is not right about this guy. But I looked at him, he said, what's up? And he said, okay, what's up? We go to another store. I come out, he's outside the second store, way on the other side of our district. It's just like, it's no way you can keep running to the same person. So I thought it was, wait a minute. Now my spirit really was tugging on me. Like, something is up with this guy. So again, I looked and he said, he's sitting on his car outside of the store. So I tapped my friend and said, hey man, this man is following us. This guy. And my friend laughed. He was like, dude, you're not that important. Nobody following you, man. Quit it. Nobody, you're nobody to be thinking about. Stop it. You're paranoid. Okay, I brushed it off. So later on, I come out 2 or 3 hours later, we're dressed, I'm ready to go out. I come outside the building. Guess who's standing there? The same guy. So this time I said, okay, I'm about to question this guy. I asked him, do I know him from somewhere? Where is he from? You know what I mean? Because enough is enough at this point. My spirit is telling me I need to find out what's going on. As I'm walking and approaching the guy, he had a cigar in his mouth. And he said, do you have a lighter on you? I said, yeah. And so as I'm reaching in my pocket, I saw a green flash. It's the first thing I really remember. It was a green flash, okay? Now, it just seems like, I don't know if things go in slow motion. You know, when your body experiences traumatic experiences, mm-hmm. You know, you either black out or time slows down for you, okay? And I'm noticing how God put that in as a safety mechanism for your body, for us, so we won't be over-traumatized by the experience. But as I look up, I smell, like, I don't know if you know either with matches. Like, mm-hmm. If you would burn a whole book of matches, like the sulfuric smell.
Yeah.
That's what I smell. But as I look up to him, and he hit me again. Wow, again. So now I'm looking at him, but he has this look on his face, and it was demonic. But it was like a I got you look, like a, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The second time, I fall back. As soon as I'm falling back, I feel myself falling forward.
Okay.
It's hard to explain. I'm falling back, but yet I can feel myself falling forward, and instantly, it was instantaneous. It was just like that. I was in darkness. But like I described before, this darkness is not a darkness like here on earth. It's not like you can blindfold yourself, like you can put yourself underneath the earth, super blindfold yourself and dig deeper. And it's still, this darkness is alive. You understand? It had a spiritual component to it, to where I felt that it was all over me, like it was holding me. But as I'm falling down, I can't even calculate the speed, but as I'm falling, the more I'm falling, the more I'm feeling things getting stripped away from me, meaning such as like hope, you know, love, all the stuff that we take for granted here that we don't realize that come from God, they're stripped from you as you're falling to this place. Okay, I want people to be aware. Don't take anything for granted. Because as I was falling, it's beyond, like I was saying before, at first, the terror, it's not fear, it's terror, and it's alive. It is really, it's a spirit. It's alive in that place. In the darkness, it's alive. It was alive. It was like the darkness had a consciousness of its own, and it was stripping me of everything good. So as I'm falling, I mean, it's so fast, and I can't even think clear, but I'm falling because people don't understand. Just say, for example, if you're here conscious, like we're talking right now, we're communicating, and then all of a sudden you're taken to another, just a whole other place instantly. It's instantaneous. There's no slow build up to it. There's no nothing there. It's boom, okay? And I'm falling, and I'm feeling this fear, but the speed of the fallingness, I can't even explain it in words, no matter what language, no matter what. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual component to everything. Now that in hindsight, and the more that I'm mature in my spirit, I'm realizing that it is all spiritual. The spiritual life, I was in my spiritual body, okay? I'm falling. Now, the first thing that hit me was this smell. The smell. But see, people don't understand. I'm going to explain it again. When you pass away, you don't lose your five senses. You know, sight, hear, touch, taste. No. They heightened. They get more potent. So they raise times a million. So you become more sensitive. They don't go anywhere. They get stronger. Mm-hmm. So like if you were to smell this smell right now, the smell that I was smelling, there's no way your body would be able to take it here on this earth. Mm-hmm. There's no sewer, no dead bodies, no dead animals, rotting flesh. There's nothing that can compare to this smell. Okay? It is so bad. It is just, but as I'm falling, I'm just like, it's just overwhelming, the smell. And then all of a sudden I see a little light. It's a little light, because this darkness is so dark. You can see the light on a top of a pinhead. It's bright compared to this darkness. So to see that little light, I'm thinking, but as I'm going, I'm falling, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Then all of a sudden I felt heat. I can feel heat coming from this light. But I wasn't even now that I'm looking at it, I wasn't even paying attention to the heat because I was so scared. I'm smelling this smell, but I'm starting to see it looking like a big portal. But this portal looked like it was rocks, okay? That's what I'm going to explain to people. Hell is here on earth, but it's in a different dimension, okay? Just like when I start learning scientific principles on different dimensions, it makes complete sense. Just like I'm sitting here right now, but there are different frequencies going through me that I can't even see, like microwaves, radio waves, all types of things, but they're vibrating on a different frequency. So you can have two places in one space because of different dimensions. So hell is on earth, but it's in a different dimension. All right? Yes. So now as I'm falling and I'm seeing this portal and it's open, as it opened, now I'm pretty much right then I can see every detail. Now, remember, your senses are heightened. You can see a molecule if you wanted to, if you focus and zoom in on it. I mean, that's how pinpoint accurate your senses are in a spiritual body. Now, I'm looking, and it's rocks, like stones, ancient rocks, caverns. But I fall through, and I hit the bottom. Now, when I hit the bottom.
So the opening is like rocks.
Yes.
Like a circular.
It's like you're entering the cave system.
Okay.
It's like I was falling into an ancient cave system. That's the best way I can describe it. But the rocks were glowing. Everything on the rocks was so hot. They were like yellow, orange, white. They were hot. They were so heated. That's the little light that I was seeing. When I got there, I knew exactly that was that opening. So when I hit the bottom, I mean, I slammed so hard. But I didn't even feel that pain like that. Because when I tried to move, I was so more worried. I was like... I was just panicking so bad. I tried to move and I couldn't move the way we move here. It felt like I was wearing a big heavy suit, like I was weighed like 900 pounds. So just like I'm moving my arms now and I can do this and that. No. First of all, you feel like instantly I felt I had no energy. I had no energy. And what that was, now that I realize, is that we're so used to being in our physical body. We're so used to things of our physical nature. Like I couldn't breathe. When I was trying to breathe, I couldn't even breathe. It's because I wasn't breathing in the first place. There's no oxygen in that place. But we're so used to being here, just like we're breathing now, we're unconsciously breathing. So I thought I was trying to breathe. So that makes my anxiety there even worse, because you're so used to being in this flesh. You think you have fleshly movement. It doesn't work that way. You're stripped of everything. Remember, you're stripped of everything God gave you. So even having movement, even that comes from God. See, we don't realize that. Even breathing and just feeling, that comes from God. But that was stripped. You get stripped of all of that when you, by the time you make it there.
Were you thinking about outside at all? Or
no,
like you weren't even thinking about the earth?
No.
You were just focused on this place.
Yeah. You're so petrified. You're so scared. You're not thinking about anything here. You're not thinking about a person. You're not thinking at that moment. You're not thinking about anything. I was so shocked. And going through, and the fear and the anxiety and just everything, you're not thinking, that's the last thing you're thinking about. You're not thinking about any of those things.
So when you realize where you were, what happened next?
I'm trying to get up. And it was so dark. See, it was just as dark. But all of a sudden, the only thing that illuminated that place, the first thing I saw before me were these pits. And they were like, flames were coming up. And then you can see when these flames come up, that's how you can see. But when the first pit lit up, I saw it had to be thousands, as far as your eye can see, of these pits. And they were connected in rows, but they would go so far, like, I mean, it had to be miles and miles and miles of these pits. But inside these pits, there were people, okay? But what really caught my attention, before I describe the people in the pits, were these beasts around all the pits. They were like giants. Some of them were like, and they all had a reptilian kind of theme to them. They all looked like reptile, nasty, deformed. Some of them had long arms, short arm, with a long arm, bodies. But the ones, the giants that I saw, some of them had to be like 13 to 18 feet tall. I mean, huge. I'm talking about ripped up muscles, huge. I mean, they
like
were
humanoid. Were they humanoid?
Humanoid,
like,
yes. They had legs. They had arms. They had, you know, chest muscles. They were very humanoid, but not even close to human. Not even. They were so ugly, and they the smell that I was smelling, they stink. It was them. It was them. Like, they stink. They horrible smell to them. Horrible smell. And a lot of them smell like sulfur, too. Like, that's why a lot of people who I've talked to who had experiences with demons, they always smell like a sulfuric smell. They stink. They smell bad. They smell, they're horrible. But then I also saw demons as tall as this pen. They're small. You got some, they all sizes, all shapes, all sizes. But they had, some of them had red eyes. Some of them had yellow eyes with the slits in them. You know, and some of their skins were scaly. Like I said, they had that reptile, like the reptilian type look. But some of them didn't have the reptile look. Some of them were just so deformed and ugly, hairy. It just didn't make sense. Some of them were just so disproportionate, it didn't make any sense.
Did they notice you when you fell?
No, not right away. Not right away. One of them did, and that's how I look back, because I never saw the Lord. I never saw the Lord. But now that I look back, he had to be with me to be protecting me. Because the hatred that they have for us, it is beyond description. It is beyond words. They hate. There is no form of hate here on this planet that can even get close to how they feel about us. They hate you so bad. You can feel it. The energy will kill you. If their hatred was in the form of a weapon, here on earth, you would die. You would die. They hate. When I say hate, hate is an understatement. Hate would feel like love compared to the hatred that they have for us, literally. Yeah, but as I looked at the pits and the people, some of them were like charred skeletons, charred, burned up skeletons. Some of them had flesh hanging off of them, okay? And the thing is, they were trying to crawl out. And now, I mean, because once you get there, you know that you know. You know. You know pretty much everything. You can see a person in hell and know why they're there. There's no time there. There's no time that you have to take to learn, because everything is connected. So you know that you know. And they were there to guard the people from coming out the pit. They had these spears and these ancient things, and people were trying to crawl out. They were sticking them, grabbing them, especially the big giant, grabbing them and throwing them right back into the pits and the lava. I mean, and then what got me, though, like I was saying before, I forgot to mention, was the screams and the yells, okay? It moves your spirit. The sense of the way these people were screaming and in agony and the regret and the pain, it is beyond comprehension. Even right now as we speak, that place is going on right now. And that's what reminds me every day. It's happening right now as we speak. People are there right now. And there's so many people. It's so many people. But as I'm trying to get up and I look, and I'm looking at these pits, and I'm just, now I thought I was already scared and full of anxiety. Now it's just beyond. It keeps growing. There's no limit to fear in the spiritual realm. Just when you think, okay, I'm maxed out of my anxiety. I'm maxed out of my, no. It keeps growing and it doesn't stop. There's no limit to how fearful you become. You know, I'm trying to get up. Then all of a sudden I felt something grab my head and I can see the claw. This thing had to be huge and it threw me. And when it threw me, I mean, the strength of this thing, it was like me picking up this pen and throwing this pen. It was like it was nothing. So I don't care what people say. Oh, I will go in down there and I'll fight. No, I'm sorry. No, it's not happening. I don't care if you're the strongest man on earth. You have nothing.
It's like you had no control, right? You have no control.
You have no control. You have no strength. It's like you didn't eat in months. You don't have no nutrients, no kind of muscle, none of that. That's out the window. That comes from God. And everything, that's not there. So you can try your best if you want to, and it's nothing going to happen. So as I got flung, I got hit this wall. But now as I noticed, as I once again, Lord had to be with me because I didn't feel, because of the force that I was thrown, I would have felt, I knew I was going to feel the pain. Because one thing I'm going to explain to everyone, like I explained before, my testimony is that here on the body, we have a nervous system, right? So if I was to touch you and just pinch your hand, you would feel it only on your hand. In the spirit world, there's no such thing. If you get hit in the hand, you feel it through your whole body simultaneously at the same time. You won't feel it just in an isolated place where you got pinched. You will feel it all at one time from your head.
The pain also is more intense as well.
By a million. And that's an understatement. It is, see, because the spiritual world is way, people don't understand. Everything here physical is the leftovers from the spiritual world. That's why the Lord said your thoughts are more realer. That's why you get judged by your thoughts, because that's what the real is. It's not, your action is just a reflex of your thoughts. So now I know what the Lord means by that, because the spiritual is way more realer than this. Everything here physical is leftovers from the spiritual world. That's why I say the pain is more real. Your senses are more heightened. Everything is more intense, way more intense. Okay. Now that's why I say when I got flung and I knew the Lord was there with me, is because I didn't feel, I expected so much more pain, but it wasn't. It wasn't. I felt pain, but it wasn't what I knew in my mind, where I was calculating that it should be. But as I look up, I'm on the side and it's like a stone mountain. But in the mountain were jail cells, rows and rows of these cells as far as your eye can see up. Like, and I grew up in skyscrapers my whole life, and I know what it is to live in the sky, literally. But these things were so high, like they were built into the side of a mountain, and there were rows and rows of cells, like the old cells, not like the modern day jails with the door with the slit. No, the bars, and they look ancient, rusty. But instantly I knew, all of a sudden I start looking, and you can see people, activities, and all of these different cells. And then it would be like 3 feet apart, it'd be stones, another cell. Stones, another cell. Stone, 3 feet apart, like this estimating. All the way up. The same way I saw the pit, all the way going across, these were all the way up as far as my eyes can see, literally. Like, I couldn't even see it no more, but you can still see cells. And instantly I knew these were ancient. I knew that the people were in there were there for thousands of years. Thousands of years. I mean, I'm talking about biblical times. They've been in there since. You know, people can't even imagine, because time, see, like, we're so used to time here. You can't imagine no time. There is no time there. Time stops. There is no time in the spirit world. It doesn't exist. Time is only used in the physical manifestation for us to organize things and keep schedules. It doesn't exist. All hope is gone when you're there. There is no, at least, like, for example, I was explaining. Back when I used to live my back life, because I did go to jail a couple of times. I was in jail, okay? I had hope because I had an out date, right? So you say, okay, I'm getting released in 8 months. That gives you some hope that I'm getting out of here in 8 months. But when you're in hell, there is no out date. There is no time. There is nothing, no schedule. There is none that's gone. You know you're there. And the worst part is, I knew I deserved to be there. That was the thing that really got me. I had no rebuttals for me not being there. Okay?
So you weren't crying for mercy. You weren't calling out to God. Nothing like that? No?
No. No. And that's another thing. See, the people don't understand. The things that I were hearing, you had a lot of people calling out to God. You had a lot of people asking for 5 more minutes, 1 more chance. Please, I'm sorry. Let me make it up so you can hear everything. That's another thing I want to add. Remember I was talking about the 5 senses being heightened? You can hear everybody screaming at one time, but you can individualize every person. You can individualize every scream. You can individualize. But then I heard a lot of blasphemous things towards God. I heard a lot of anger, a lot of cursing God out. I heard a lot of, like, yeah, big time. People were angry.
Only people were making sounds. The demons weren't making any sounds or whatever those creatures were.
Demons, I was going to get to that. When the demons were communicating with each other, they have their own language. And that whole language hurt my body every time they talked. Every time they talk.
So you never understood what they were saying?
Oh, yeah. You understand everything. You overstand everything that they're saying. What they was communicating back and forth, they were calling us stupid humans. When they were grabbing and torturing humans and doing all types of things, they were calling us stupid and they were laughing. They love, they laugh, they enjoy. Because what I found out and what I saw myself through my experience is that they get energy off our pain. They eat it. It's a form of food to them. It's like a drug to them. They get high off of it. That's why they're here on earth. They keep us depressed, angry, full of anxiety, because they're feeding off that. That's their food. They literally eat that. So they cause situations for you to feel that way so they can eat. They eat off that. And in hell, they have an abundance, nonstop supply of food because all they do is torture. They say if your arm gets ripped off, your arm will grow right back, rejuvenate. And it happens over and over and over again. Like I say, I saw tons of people there where they were ripping over their mouth and pouring hot lava down their throats. They'll melt and they'll come right back and they'll do it all over again. And then they invite other demons to come and get their turn. Like I was also mentioning about promiscuous women who were there and men. But I saw my experience. I saw majority of what I saw were the women being raped by demons. This one lady was being raped and tortured so bad sexually that I'm not going to say it on here. But it's beyond horrible. But I'm talking about, yeah. Yeah, it's and then some of the tortures are so bad. I still, to this day, I can smell a certain smell, especially matches. I don't like the smell of matches at all because it brings me back to that. It reminds me of that. Yeah, it does. Like PTSD, big time. I don't like that. But
your wife said you said something about. I think it was in the last one I listened to. Actually, you said you saw pastors and people like that there. Could you explain?
Yes, you know what? And I saw, and a lot of them were still dressed in suits. Okay, there was like a cavern, like a cave, and a lot of them were just sitting there like they were waiting. Well, the demons would come in, especially the giant ones, and snatch them up and throw them in boxes. They were throwing these pastors in boxes. They had all types of stuff for them. They had all types of, like they had a field day with the pastors, the fake pastors. I'm going to be honest. A lot of them were just misusing their authority that God gave them, okay? For one example, they threw this one pastor in a box. And it was an old, nasty box. But the box was filled with hot coals in it. So when they throw them in it and they close it, you can hear them. I mean, the screams are beyond. Like, you can feel it. You can feel it's just the anguish and the pain. And they were throwing these things in them. They were stabbing this. They were ripping people apart. They were eating people, especially the pastors. They had a real, real good time with them. They were enjoying, like, really. A lot of people who I saw were a part of the church. Like I said, you can look at somebody in hell and know why they're there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like if somebody was to look at me, they'll know why I was there.
The people that were in church, what were some of the sins that they did? Like that
I saw more gossipers in hell than anything from the church.
Wow.
Gossip, backstabbing, lust in the church, right? But the most of all was the gossip. Gossiping, because people don't understand the power of gossip. They don't understand how powerful it is, how you can hurt somebody's life for just, you know what I mean? It was so many people down there for gossiping, you know? They smile in your face, But then, oh, look at Sister Clark, or look at Brother so-and-so. But then you're in church praying with them instead of praying for them. See, when you talk about somebody's problem, you better have a solution. If not, it's gossip.
Mm.
Plain and simple. If you're going to talk about someone's problem, you better be willing to help that person. If not, don't talk about it and stay out of their business, because that's serious. God doesn't play with gossip. And I saw that firsthand. God does not play when it comes to gossip.
And the pastors that were there, were they like fake pastors in the sense of, like, what were they doing exactly? Like, what did they do?
They were popcorn Christians. What I mean by popcorn Christianity is a term that me and my friends came up with, is because they're okay, like a popcorn kernel is hard, right? A kernel of popcorn. But when you apply heat to it, it puffs up and it turns soft. That's what they were. They were acting like they were really hardened for the Lord, that they were really solid, but then the heat and the pressures of the world turned them soft and they became worldly.
Okay.
And they're fake. They use the words. Yes.
Hmm.
And then a lot of them were, like I always say, intellectual parrots, meaning they know the scriptures inside and out. They sound good. They sound intellectual, but they don't live them. They don't live them. They fool the people. That's why I tell the people, it's not up to the pastor or your deacon or your bishop to establish your personal relationship with the Lord. That's up to you, because a relationship with the Lord is ultra personal. It's not their responsibility. And you can be, even the Lord says, don't follow a man because you never know who you are following. So why they think, oh yeah, brother told me to do this or sisters told me to do this. And yeah, they're a man or woman of God. They lead you right to hell.
Wow.
Because you don't have
I heard you said unforgiveness too. You said unforgiveness too, right?
I was going to mention that next. The top two. The top one is gossip. The next one is unforgiveness. You know how many people say, I forgive, but I won't forget? That's not forgiveness. See, when God forgives us, it's deleted from the universe. It's gone. He doesn't remember. Clearly doesn't remember. You can try to say, hey, Lord, remember I did this? He's going to say, what are you talking about? Because it's been deleted from his heart. We don't do that. We say we forgive you and still have in the back of our mind reservations and judge that person and still kind of say, I'm just going to, you know. And what? And I saw so many people there for that. See, people don't understand. Yeah, we unqualify and disqualify ourselves from going to paradise. Paradise in heaven cannot have 1 ounce of filth in it. If so, you will corrupt it. So that's why we need the Lord as a mediator to make sure he washes us from that. Because we're all imperfect. We're going to fall. We're going to have flaws. But our relationship with him and his grace, he washes us clean from that so we can enter paradise. Because you cannot have one blemish on you. It's like if you have a fresh basket of apples and you put one in with a little mold on it, what's going to happen to the rest of those apples?
The whole bunch is going to be spoiled.
Exactly. So therefore, we disqualify ourselves from getting into heaven because we're so blemished. And then we think we can do it on our own. We can't do it without him. There's no way we can cleanse ourselves the way we need to be cleansed to be on that frequency of heaven. So we disqualify ourselves all the time.
Some people would say that they would say, well, you know what? Once you're covered, you're covered. And, you know, like the pastor, for instance, he's okay. Even if he messes up, you know, like he's covered past, present, future sin. And the other gossipers or people, unforgiveness is
right.
Fine because
uh-huh.
You're covered.
Sure.
And that's something that people say. Like I saw another testimony of a pastor in Africa, a very, very gripping health testimony.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was unforgiveness that caused him to go to hell.
See? And that's what I'm saying. And those who say that, they obviously don't read the scriptures. Because clearly, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, says, if you commit a sin, and there know, and you know thereof, that it's a sin, there is no sacrifice that can save you. See? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. So all that once saved, always saved, that comes from the pits of hell itself. It's a lie. It's a lie. If that's the case, I might as well go back to the life I used to live. I got saved, so I might as well just go, let's go kick it, man. You know, hey, let's go have fun. Let's go do what we need to do then.
Those are fighting words, right? Because
yeah.
In hell testimonies, you always have people in the comment section that talk about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
They always talk about it. Even when I shared my outer darkness experience. So when you spoke about the little pin, the light, I saw that. My thing was just this pitch black place that looks like a cave, right? I found myself in this place.
Mm-hmm.
And when I realized, just like you said, the hopelessness, there was a palpable sense of, as you said, you cannot get out. You know that
yeah.
You're stuck there forever.
Yeah.
And this hopelessness was beyond anything I can describe. And when I realized where I was, I cried out for Jesus, and then I saw a little light, like a little pinprick of light, mm-hmm. way out in the distance, and I bolted to it. And when I jumped through the light, that's when I leaped out of like my bed, and that was a very traumatic experience for me. Like, so I understand.
Yes,
I
can tell.
I never experienced what you experienced, but I got a little glimpse of the outer darkness, and that was enough for me to understand that it's not something to be messed with. And yes. I was a Christian.
Right.
I was a believer at the time, but I was lukewarm.
Yeah.
I was a lukewarm believer at the time. But continuing from, you saw the bars, and you saw people inside the bars, and the ancient, like some people from like way back when.
Yeah, from ancient Persia all over. You can clearly see, you can clearly tell, like these things and these people were just there for thousands and thousands of years. Even the garbs they were wearing, some of them were skeletons. Some of them, like I said, were just like ancient. But the color of their flesh was like a smoky gray darkness. It wasn't, you can't tell what race they were only by their features. But they were from all over. But they were very, very ancient. And I knew they were there for astrology, witchcraft. It's like the whole, all of them were there for worshiping other gods, worshiping Baal, worshiping demons. Like all of this was like a dedicated section to ancient, those ancient ones who were worshiping other false gods and then let other people to worship false gods. See, it's one thing that when you sin alone, cool, that's bad enough. But when you bring others to sin with you, when you become contagious and you're sinning, it's way worse. You have way worse judgment that falls upon your head. So that's what I say. Hey, if people make your own choice, but don't bring nobody with you. Don't make nobody fall with you because you're going to be held accountable, not only for yours, but for theirs as well.
So what was some of the regret, like some of the things that they were saying, like, you know, like that they were sorry about, stuff like that, regret?
This is it, because I had the regret. I had the review. I call it the great review, because it comes a moment when you're in there where he shows you every detail, every conversation that you heard someone that you didn't even see, and how that causes a ripple effect in their life. Every bad thing I did, from even stealing the candy bar when I was 7 years old, to every detail that you ever did. Now, I don't know if people remember, in the Bible it says your own flesh will testify against you. See? So my own flesh was testifying against me to me. And that's when I had the feeling that I have no right to get out of here. That's when I had the feeling that, you know what, I deserve this. That was when I came with a feeling, overwhelming feeling, where it hit me that, dang, I deserve to be here. There's no way I'm getting out of here, because you have so many people screaming, please, let me make it up to her, or let me make it up to him. Give me one more chance to go say, you know, like, it was just so many things of regret that they wish they can do one more time to make things up to people. The things that they said to people, the things they physically did to people, the things that they stole from people, the thoughts that they were thinking about people, the gossip that they did someone and made someone lose their job or lose their reputation because of gossip. Even false gossip is even worse. When you just make up things about somebody because you're jealous of them. There's a lot of people, the spirit of jealousy. See, hell is very organized, and people don't realize this. Hell is so organized. It has a spirit for everything. A spirit for everything that you think is just you. No, a lot of the times, okay, I'm going to say this loud and clear. Everyone is accountable, okay? Your flesh, you're accountable for your own actions. So I'm not going to blame everything on demons. I'm not going to blame everything on the devil, because we do have accountability and responsibility for ourselves. But what I am saying is, they don't have the power to make you do anything. But what they do, they're great manipulators and they're great influencers. So they, and your flesh by default will go with the choice of the demons by default, because your flesh is so weak. So they know how to manipulate your flesh to make these decisions. You see what I mean? So people need to realize that. But back to answering your question, the most thing, like I said, that I was hearing them say is they just want one more chance to get it right. They want one more opportunity to make things right, you know? And it was just like, some of them are asking for 30 seconds to be on the earth. I don't know what somebody can accomplish in 30 seconds, but I mean, they're asking for time. They're just asking, can I just go tell this person, I'm sorry what I did to my mother. I'm sorry what I did to, like, you know what I mean? You know, it's just so many voices on so many different levels. And all we have to do is apply our own experience to answer that question. But I don't want to wait again till I pass away again to make anything right with someone. We need to do it right now while you're here on this earth.
Amen. What happened after the bars, right? Because I remember you said you were on a cliff after or something like that.
Yeah, that was towards the end. I'm just going to wrap it. Yeah, because when I went, this is towards the end. It was a lot more in between that. But we can, maybe another time, God willing, I can come on a platform and explain. But I was on a cliff, okay, and it was people on the right side, people on the left side. But when I looked, it was a desolate forest. And it was a path in the forest. But these trees, it wasn't a regular forest. These trees were dead. These trees were, it was just like a dead forest. And it was black sands, black and gray sands, okay? But when I looked further up, that's when my, like, I felt this place. That whole time, I was in hell, but I call it pre-hell. But when I saw that place with these gates, I mean, it had to be 80 feet tall, 50 to 80 feet tall gates, old rock, stone castles. I knew that was hell. I knew for a fact, if I pass those gates, I'm not coming back. And so as I'm standing on the cliff, and that's why I want to tell people, when you're in hell, there's no fellowship. That's why this part, I want to make it clear that the Lord obviously gave us the opportunity, because there was a long line of people in these chains, okay? And they were coming, and they were walking on this path, but each on the side of them, like guards, almost like prison guards. But they were demons, just some of them big, some of them walking, so these people wouldn't try to run off the path. And they were marching in towards the gates, to the gates. But one person noticed and looked up. Now I'm thinking that the person noticed the Lord behind us. But then gave them an opportunity to start screaming towards us, don't come here. Don't. They were screaming in all different languages, and I'm looking at the people on this side, looking at the people on this side, the cliff, and they were screaming, don't. They were, like, giving us utter warnings. Like, don't, please. They were begging to not come, to not come. And when you can feel the sincerity and the fear and the terror. Like, it is beyond. Just by looking at that place and hearing them, I knew. I said, my next step is I'm about to be down there in that chain gang, heading on that path. But all of a sudden, it was just like the same force of a swish, because around when I went to different compartments in hell, it was like I was teleporting. It was boom, boom. He was taking me. So now I know that was the Lord showing me. But all of a sudden, I felt that same back. But when I came, I got slammed into my body. And I was in the hospital. Okay.
How long did it feel like it was? You said it's timeless, right? But how long did it feel? Did it feel like you were there for a long time?
I feel like I was there for months. I feel like I was there for months.
Wow.
It felt like I was there for months.
Like Earth months, like our months. It felt
our months here on Earth. It felt like, wow, I was there for months. And I was only there for like 3 minutes and 40-something seconds, 47 seconds.
Wow. So your wife said you were pronounced clinically dead.
Three minutes and 47 seconds.
What was the most memorable thing maybe that happened during that time in hell when you were being, you know, shown different things that you want to share?
What sticks out to me, all of it to me was equally, but what sticks out in my mind was, I call it the human shish kebab, where the giants were taking these big rusty poles, and they were taking humans, and they were taking them from underneath, and they were putting them on these poles, like four or five at a time. And then they were carrying them around. Like, they put these spears through them. These spears are huge. And they would take the body, and they would poke you through, and they would stuff you, and they would stuff another one on top of you, and they would stuff another one while you're screaming and moving, and then they would pick you up, and I don't even know where they were carrying them. But to me, I still even get visual. I still visualize it. I can still feel it. I can still smell the atmosphere. But to me, you know, besides the females getting raped, the men's getting their genitals cut off, the sexual torture, and I call it the human shish kebab torture. To me, it really, 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 those are the two that really stick out to me, really much so.
So in terms of senses, right, so I want to give people like a sense of maybe like what, is it like a dazed feeling, like you're in like a dream-like state, or is it like very vivid, or do you feel like, or you feel now like, how what's it like a dream state?
Have you ever had a dream? See, there's a difference between dreams and messages. Have you ever had a dream where when you first wake up, you're glad to be here, and you look and say, whew, I'm glad that was just a dream. So imagine that type of feeling magnetized times a thousand. It's more realer than me experiencing talking to you right now.
Wow.
It's even harder. Like I say, there's certain emotions that I feel than we feel as human beings on a daily basis that you can't even put into words, right? The descriptive part, I'm just getting as close to it as I can, because there's some things that I can't even fathom to put in a human language, or any language. There's no words, because everything there is so impactful and so powerful. It's energy. I can't even calculate how people, yeah.
And some people say it's fake, right? And that's the thing. When I read those comments, I feel, I'm just like, man, like, what do you have to say to people who don't believe? Like, people who hear stuff like this and they're like, oh, it's fake.
But guess
what do you say to them?
The demons love that. The demons are clapping because the fact is they don't want you to believe so you can get there. See, hell does not need your belief. Hell doesn't need you. Actually, it don't want you to believe, because how can you fight an enemy that you don't believe exists? That means you already lost. So they want you. So listen, my job is just to deliver a message. I don't debate my experience. I don't have to debate it. Because one thing we all have in common as human beings, we're all going to die. I'm just telling you. The Lord told me I don't have to debate anything. My job is just to tell you my experience, my testimony. People can do what they want to do with it. But I'm just telling you, like, for example, If you're in Japan right now, if you come to the United States and say, you know, the jails in the United States are not real, well, go break the law. Watch what's going to happen. The jail that's waiting for you don't need you to believe in it. Mm. It's sitting there waiting for you. It's a cell with your name on it, your little cot with your name on it. It don't need you to believe in it. So people who I want to say that, they don't want you to believe. So I ask you, I don't, you know, like I tell people all the time, there's 1.8 and some more million gods that are worshipped on this earth, okay? Why is it that our Lord and our Father God, especially Jesus Christ, is the only one picked on? Why is he the only one mocked? Why is he the only one out of 1.8 million known gods that are worshipped? Why is he the only one made into a curse word? Why is he the only one so disrespected? Because he's the truth, that's why. Plain and simple. I don't argue no more with people. I don't have to. They take his salvation. They take his messages. Trust me, everybody's going to be held accountable. I'm not here to scare anyone. But one thing that, especially in the Proverbs says, fear is the beginning of wisdom, right? The fear of God.
Fear of God, yeah.
Fear of God is the beginning. So if it scares you enough to at least research yourself, what do you have to lose by praying and say, hey, show me. Show me, Lord. If you're really real, show me that you're real. What do you have to lose? But for all the naysayers, I don't violate your free will, just like our Lord. I'm not here to force you to believe. I'm not here to debate with you. I'm just telling you. I'm just passing on the message. Like the UPS man, what does he do? He delivers your package and he leaves. Whatever you do with the package is up to you. That's it.
So I know we're kind of wrapping up, but I want you to talk about when you came back. You came back into your body. I want you to talk about that, and then how you actually met Jesus and, you know, became a pastor, etc. I want that part of the story as well.
Yeah, well, when I came back into my body, like I said, it felt disgusting. I felt horrible. I felt like I was wearing it. It felt like if you put on like 3 outfits that were dipped in cold water. That's the best way I can describe it. It felt like I was literally wearing my body. I was wearing it like I'm wearing an outfit, and I felt nasty. And it took a while for me to get rid of that. For a couple of weeks for me to get rid of that nasty feeling, because I was it's weird. But
so you were in the hospital when you woke up in the hospital, or
I was in the hospital, and the nurses were freaking out. Everybody was freaking out because they pretty much just gave up. They were wrapping it up. I can tell the machines were outside. They were just pretty much wrapping everything up, like, because I was done.
So where were you shot? Where were you shot?
In my stomach. Twice.
Okay.
Twice. In my abdomen.
Okay.
That's why I'm still experiencing medical conditions right now. I still have fragments of bullets in me. I may have to have an upcoming. So those who are believers, you can pray. My surgery goes well. I really appreciate that, because I have to have some bullet fragments removed from my intestines, from my small intestines still, because they're starting to rust and iodize in my stomach. So, yeah.
And your wife said that they said you wouldn't walk, but you started walking miraculously.
I still, even to this day, I still have complications of walking, but they told me I wouldn't walk again correctly. I wouldn't walk at all. Now I'm walking right now. You know, I still walk with a limp. It still hurts when the weather changes. A lot of people know what that means. Like when it rains, when it snows, it's a lot of tremendous pain because I have permanent nerve damage. But that's better than being paralyzed. So thank the Lord. He gave me the ability. I'm walking again. So, yeah. But they told me I would never walk again.
We're going to pray indeed, right? So So you got up on the bed. You were probably screaming, telling them. She said that you said, like, yeah, you were screaming. Then
I was screaming. Like, I didn't. First of all, the same way, just as fast as I left, was just as fast as I came back. Two different dimensions. Like, two, boom. After that, swish, and it was pink, pink, and I'm just. I was so beyond confused is an understatement, okay? But looking at the nurse's face made me more scared because she was looking at me with, and she ran out the room. So I'm like, hey, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, and I was scared, and I didn't want to go back, so I'm screaming, don't let me go back. Please, don't, somebody, no, help. What's going on? Like, don't let me go back. Because I can even still hear in my heart, in my mind, I can still smell hell. I can still, you know, so me being there, I just thought any second now I was going to be taken back there.
Okay.
You see what I mean? It's the most scariest feeling ever, you know.
Did you share it with anyone? Did you share the story when you got up afterwards, or you kept it to yourself for many years?
I kept it to myself for a minute, you know, honestly. I truly did, because first of all, it took a while for me to even grasp. That's how serious it is. That's how powerful it is. It took so long for me to even digest it, and it had the opposite effect at first. It gave me post-traumatic stress syndrome, with a disorder, I mean, to the point where I started drinking more when I came back because of that hell experience. It had the reverse effect at first. It wasn't like the Lord, I came from hell and all of a sudden I was just with the Lord. No. It had the reverse effect at first. I was so traumatized by it, it led me to drinking more. Even after the experience I experienced, you would think I would have woken up and just said, hey, no more. No, it made me very scared of a lot of things, different noises. Like I say, even to this day, I can't stand the smell of those matches. I can't do it. I can't. It just really brings me right back, you know. And that's why it took me a long time to come out, because the Lord had to give me the energy and the strength to even rehash this story. Because...
spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love listening to this right here because it truly reminds me of some things. And we thank God this morning, and we're remembering old things pass away. And behold, we're new creatures in Christ today. So listen, I'm going to pray out, and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. So let's pray. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for all that has been said and done. Father, we thank you for this brother's 3:47 into hell. And Lord, he was able to share it with us. We ask this morning that you would bless every caller and every listener, Father. Those that are coming through the archive, those that are coming through the podcast, and bless this day, every family member, every friend near and far. And Lord, those that stand in the need of whatever it may be, we know that you supply according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And so, Father, supply for your people today. Meet the need in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now. We give you glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. As we depart this morning, Father, bless our going out, bless our coming in. Again, meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another. In the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, May 7th, 2024, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and we'll go to our last song of the morning. And after this song, I won't be coming back. Have a blessed day.
When all foundations have been shaken, when I'm left standing in the dark, and all I feel is my heart breaking, hope is faded. The heavy questions hit so hard. And though my soul may feel forsaken, you still reign and you're still God. Though I can't see what's before me, I know that I can trust your heart. And this one truth will be my story. You still reign and you're still God. I will declare that you are
still